This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
This is a special presentation from Civic Media News. From our Civic Media studios in Madison and across the state of Wisconsin, this is special coverage of Wisconsin Decides 2024. Here are your hosts, Todd Albaugh and Pat Kreitlow.
Here we are back at Civic Media headquarters at the top of State Street, a block off the Capitol Square in Madison. I'm Pat Kreitlow along with Todd Albaugh across the Civic Media Radio Network. And then we'll resume Up North News Radio coming up in just a few more minutes here. But Todd, we're getting folks updated on the big stories from the election of 2024. And for folks who might have missed it a little bit earlier, 2.5 hours ago, enough Wisconsin votes had been counted to make Donald Trump the 47th president of the United States. He joins Grover Cleveland as the first person who will be president twice, in this case the 45th and the 47th president, by winning enough votes in the Electoral College. There are still some states that have yet to report, but the blue wall has most definitely cracked, Todd Albaugh, between Pennsylvania and Wisconsin going for Trump. We still don't know yet the final numbers in Michigan, but that all the other states, all the other swing states, it doesn't matter. If you crack that blue wall, as Trump did in 2016 and again today, that's the ball of wax.
You're absolutely 100% correct. And just like what happened in 2016, it was Wisconsin who sent the former, now once again, president-elect over the 270 mark. Donald Trump, as you said, has won as of a couple of hours ago after the Wisconsin ballots were reported. And thanks to Craig Gilbert, the longtime reporter at the state, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, adding this historical note, speaking of history, Pat Kreitlow, Tammy Baldwin, good news for Democrats this morning, appears to have won. And if that holds in Wisconsin, it will be the first time since 1968 that Wisconsin voted for one party for president and another party for Senate on the same ballot.
And it was very interesting the way that it happened at 4:32 this morning. We've talked about these central count facilities in places like Milwaukee and Green Bay and Racine. And it was the Racine votes that had finally been tabulated. They're reported all at once. And then that's when you saw the shift in the numbers. And the shift did this. It erased Eric Hovde's lead. There were enough Tammy Baldwin votes to essentially put her over the top, but there were not enough votes there for Kamala Harris to make up the deficit that she had with Donald Trump, and that's ultimately what led to the projection of Donald Trump being named the winner, being declared the winner of this particular race. It really cuts across almost every demographic. It cuts through regions. There's not a county in Wisconsin or in the country where Vice President Kamala Harris overperformed Joe Biden's numbers from 4 years ago. It was Donald Trump who made inroads in just about every region and in nearly every demographic except for college-educated suburban women. In so many other groups, especially Hispanic men, there was this big turnaround, and we'll talk more about that as we go through the coming morning here, but where are my manners? I believe we have meteorologist Brittany Merlot standing by to tell us more about where we go from this point on. Midweek on, it is now very fully November. Some people really feel it in their bones this morning, Brittany. How are they going to feel about it from a weather standpoint?
Oh, yes. Well, that's going to continue. We are looking at those clouds staying here, temperatures, you know, hanging out in those low 50s for the day. But the good news is the wind is calming down. It's not going to be as dreary, wet, and all of that as yesterday. I mean, we picked up statewide anywhere from a half an inch to an inch and a half. So it was a very wet, dreary day yesterday. The sun will be shining by tomorrow, and we will be into those mid-50s. There is better weather ahead, even into Friday as well. We're still looking at a ton of sunshine. But do keep in mind that as we head into the weekend, by Saturday night and into Sunday, we are looking at some more rain rolling in. But a beautiful end to this week.
All right. And while we have the whole network with us, we can't forget some of our morning traditions on Up North News Radio, which is a chime in from one of our favorite listeners, Rob in Tigerton, where he says, good morning from Tigerton. It's clear and 42 degrees. I was at Kristen Lyerly's watch party in Appleton last night. The results were disappointing, but there were many wonderful people there that I had the chance to visit with. I got a chance to visit with Brittany and Melissa Kay and give Kristen a hug. I got home at 1:30. I've got a doctor's appointment in Shawano today. I was the 10th person at the Town of Germania Town Hall to vote. Civic Radio staff did an excellent job with election coverage, Rob writes on Facebook, and we appreciate that very much. Brittany, you had a busy evening.
Oh, yes. Yes, I did. But I will say something. You know, there's something about Dr. Lyerly that when it comes with the weather, I think the sun is always shining around her. Yes. No matter the results, she was very positive. So I'll say that.
And that that leadership role will continue. Look, we had this segment all year long on Up North News Radio called Women Win Wisconsin. It was powered by our friends at Motherhood for Good. And it was meant to elevate the voices of women all over the state, not just the ones running for office, but who aspire to be community leaders. Maybe they work with certain groups and things. And That's only going to continue, and it's folks like Kristen that make that possible and made it possible for you to, you know, enjoy interviewing somebody and being at a party that, even though it wasn't the result you were expecting, like Rob says, you still meet a lot of positive, good people out there.
You sure do. You sure do.
Brittany Merlot, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Get some rest.
Thanks.
All right, let's bring in to the conversation now from WJFW-TV in Rhinelander, our friend Dan Hagen, who joins us occasionally to tell us about some of the news that's happening up north, where, again, there was redistricting, but in an area that is so heavily Republican, moving the lines isn't going to really do much there. Dan, good morning. Not a significant change in legislative seats up there this morning, is there?
Yeah, good morning, Pat and Todd. So if you think about the 34th Assembly District, that is the classic Northwoods Assembly District, and it did not change from the previous maps. It's comprised of Vilas and Oneida counties, with the exception of one town at Nokomis, which is in the 35th Assembly District. Republican Rob Swearingen has won a seventh term, in that 34th District. Down in the 35th Assembly District, which is Merrill, Tomahawk, pretty much Lincoln and Langlade counties, Republican Calvin Callahan has won a re-election there, so he is going back to the Assembly. And the race that we were seeing a lot of ads, even up in Rhinelander, was the Wausau race, that new 85th district. Pat Snyder was looking to win another term. It was comprised of Wausau, Weston, a purple district, and Pat Snyder overperformed there. He beat challenger Yilang Zhang by a couple of points. So it looks like Wisconsin Republicans will hold their majority in the Wisconsin Assembly, although with a lot fewer members.
Yes, they won't have a supermajority in either chamber. We won't be talking about that again anytime soon with these new maps. Dan, do you mind talking about last night's coverage for Newswatch 12? Because having worked several election nights behind the scenes at TV and radio stations, I know it can be a little chaotic, to put it mildly. How are things by you?
Yeah, absolutely. It was, you know, this is part of why we're in the industry, right? There's days where it's fun. We get to cover chili cook-offs, and I love that about, you know, the new station up in Rhinelander. But there's days like this, and Rhinelander, even if it's a small station, we are in the most purple of purple states. So it was chaotic. We had people all over the place. We had two people down in Madison. I will point out that one of our reporters was denied access to the Eric Hovde campaign headquarters, which I know other reporters were as well, but we did have someone inside the Baldwin campaign headquarters. And then we also had people from the polling location. It's called the Hodag Dome. It's a new dome in Rhinelander.
Of course it's called the Hodag Dome.
Yeah, everything is Hodag up here. So everyone in Rhinelander, I'm a Rhinelander resident. I voted in the Hodag Dome, and we had a reporter live from there. So it was a good night of coverage. You know, half the country is upset right now, as you might expect.
Well, and we just push ahead, and you will as well, covering the folks who represent the Northwoods in the legislature as well as in Congress. So, Dan, thank you very much for a little insight and for visiting with us this morning. We appreciate it so much.
Thanks, Pat and Todd.
All right, let's take a step back here and talk more about the general results overall in the Senate race. Tammy Baldwin winning with about 49.5% of the vote to Eric Hovde's 48.5% of the vote. Again, it was a nail biter all the way through. In the presidential race in Wisconsin, Donald Trump at about 49.7%, Kamala Harris at 48.8%. So again, you see what a close race it was there. And it's also worth noting some of the congressional races out here. We mentioned Dr. Lyerly falling short, running against Republican Tony Weed in the 8th Congressional District. But there were a couple of other races that folks were watching for potential drama that didn't materialize.
Yeah, I'm going to start with, for listeners that might be in the Madison area on WMDX, some good news for Democrats, where incumbent Mark Pocan got reelected overwhelmingly with 70.1% of the vote to Eric Olson, the Republican nominee, with 29.9%. Eric Olson, you know, I would say as someone who spent a lot of time, Pat, in the second district, my former boss, Scott Klug, represented that in Congress in the 90s. Eric Olson did a lot of grassroots in that district, but at the end of the day, it was the Dane County, in particular, the Madison vote that got Mark Pocan reelected.
Well, and Dane County folks were looking at that saying, wow, that county has grown. And if they could get to like 80% Democratic support, then, you know, Kamala Harris will win. Well, they didn't do that. In fact, even at UW-Madison, Kamala Harris severely underperformed President Biden from 4 years ago, which may say something about, you know, college age men who are voting. Perhaps it's something we'll slice and dice in the days and weeks to come. In the first congressional district, Republican incumbent Brian Steil holds on to his seat, fending off a challenge by Democrat Peter Barca. In the third congressional district, the one that everybody was looking at for a potential flip, it appears that Derek Van Orden will win a second term, having 51.4% of the vote right now, leading Democratic challenger Rebecca Cook by about 11,000 votes, roughly 211,000 votes to 200,000 votes. The other seat, the only other seat that's held by Democrats in the congressional delegation, is in the fourth congressional district in the Milwaukee area.
Gwendolyn Moore, Democratic incumbent in Congress in the 4th District, wins re-election with 74.9% of the vote. Her Republican challenger, Tim Rogers, received 22.5%. Again, Congresswoman Moore, one of those people that is involved in her community who does great constituent relations, Pat. And again, you see that relationship there. Of course, the maps are favorable for her. But Gwendolyn Moore, Mark Pocan will remain the two Democratic U.S. Congress people here in the state of Wisconsin.
Meanwhile, in the 5th District, again, easy time for Republican incumbent Scott Fitzgerald, getting 65% of the vote. In the 6th District, incumbent Republican Glenn Grothman getting just about 62% of the vote. Up in the Northwoods in the 7th Congressional District, Tom Tiffany getting roughly 64% of the vote. And then, of course, finally in the 8th Congressional District, the margin right now for Republican Tony Weed, 57% versus Kristen Lyerly's 43%. Let's pause here. When we come back on Up North News Radio, we'll talk about some more of the races and your reaction through our texts and online comments. Others will return back to regular programming across the Civic Media Radio Network with Todd Alba. I'm Pat Kreitlum.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
For now, anyway. Trump is coming after us. We're on the top of the hit list. So positive this morning. 92.7 WMDX.
Mm-hmm. And this portion of the John and Gordy Show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison. Sleep better and dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress, available on Madison's east and west sides or online at verlo.com. Welcome back to the John and Gordy Show. We were with the network there for about 20 minutes or so, but now we're back here in our makeshift studio. Well, it's not a makeshift studio. It is an operating studio.
Mostly.
It's just operating studio. It's not our usual studio, right? And we don't have any phones here, but we have the text, so you can still text us at 608-879-8255. That's 608-879-TALK or on the Civic Media app.
I played this right before the show, but you mentioned we're on the top of the hit list. This is some advice for you guys.
I suppose you'll have to skip the country now. Fugitive, eh? You'll be hunted down.
Oh, yeah. You know, where would we go? Maybe Canada?
Canada.
Yeah. Can we find that little clip? You know what I'm talking about? You don't know what I'm talking about. All right. Well, then, in the meantime...
Did you send that clip to him?
I thought I did.
What if we all came in wearing Canadian tuxedos tomorrow?
Well, what are Canadian tuxedos?
You don't know?
No.
What's a Canadian
tuxedo? It's a full denim outfit.
Oh,
like
really?
You wear jeans, and then you wear like a denim shirt, and then you tuck it in, and it's buttoned up.
Well, I like that.
We had a text from Doug in St. Francis saying, how many days do you guys have before your bus to the liberal media reduction camp? Good question. Well, we're wondering that ourselves. Do we have Brittany Merlot this morning? We don't.
We don't.
We can see her, but we can't talk to her?
Okay. The studio's a little goofy, and so we cannot hear her.
You know,
well, that's a shame.
We talked earlier about how Harris-Wald's campaign was a perfect campaign.
It was.
They said everything right.
She did a great job.
They had a great agenda. They had great solutions to that agenda.
Excellent. Yeah.
It was just one of the best. And I thought, if they lost, what a waste of talent. What a waste of great ideas. What a waste of a future that this country could have. I have a track I want to play of Kamala. And I think this kind of sums it up. The question itself is interesting the way she answers. Could we play? This is cut 61.
Okay.
The person who poses this question, Kamala comes back with something a little bit more surprising. Let's listen to that.
Do you believe that female voters, women, will make the difference in this election?
I believe all Americans are going to make the difference. And I intend to be a president for all Americans. I am working to earn the vote of all Americans, regardless of their gender, race, or geographic location. Because, listen, I think part of the issue at play right now is we need leadership in this country that recognizes the vast majority of us have so much more in common than what separates us. I think this is part of the reason that so many people are voting for me who may have formerly voted for my opponent, because they're just exhausted with the approach that's about trying to have Americans point their fingers at each other. People are exhausted with demeaning who we are as a country. They want a leader who has a sense of optimism and a work ethic on behalf of them to actually seek solutions, common ground, and get things done.
Great answer.
Yeah, she's terrific.
Yeah. I hope she comes back for a run after the next 4 years. There is that possibility, of course. I had a whole bunch of different cuts I was going to play if she had won. But here's a cut. This is cut 55. White supremacist Nick Fuentes.
Hmm.
And he dumped out early on Trump because of some of the comments that he was making. And this is what he finally came. When you lose a white supremacist because you're too radical, now we're going to have to find out in the next 4 years. But here he is. This is Nick Fuentes, white supremacist.
Okay.
Garbage. And at the Trump rallies, they're yelling trash for Trump, trash for Trump. And I saw other people. I saw white guys. I saw Hispanic guys inside trash cans jumping out of them with Trump signs. White guys with garbage bags that say trash for Trump 2024.
Yeah.
And that was kind of like, to me, that was the moment when I realized Trumpism was a cult. That was the moment when I realized liberals are right. That was the moment when I realized it has gone too far. It is Frankenstein's monster. We have created a golem.
Yeah.
It is a problem.
Yep.
You know, for years, liberals said, it's a cult. You're in a cult. And I said, you're going to jail. You're going to jail. It is a cult, and we are in it, and you are going to jail. That's how I felt about it for the past 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
But then I saw themselves dressing up as trash, like uncritically just dressing up as garbage and saying, we're garbage. Yeah, we're garbage. Mm. And I said, yeah, I think we have a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, probably angry about the white trash thing.
Probably.
Because he's a white supremacist. That's the way it is, you know.
Yeah, we got another text here, John. And again, you can text us at the Civic Media app or at 608-879-8255. This one from Anna. She says, I stayed up till midnight and thought things would change overnight. I woke up to hear the depressing news. I am scared of the things to come. Mm-hmm. And that's typical of a lot of the texts that we're getting this morning. We just have about a minute here. Did you want to play that thing that I sent? We can get that next time around.
Let's get that in the next break.
Okay.
All right.
All right. And
we do have Mike McCabe coming up in just a few moments from Substack. Yep. And he kind of deals with it, this whole thing, no matter what happened during the election, how we should still feel about ourselves. And that's his new Substack article. And we'll get to that and have Mike explain some of that to us. We need it. We need to be talked down from this.
Yes.
Or talked up, whichever way we want to go.
Okay. We will be back with more of John and Gordy in the Morning on 92.7 WMDX.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
They still suck, but they're better at it now. John and Gordy in the Morning, right before me, Stephanie Miller on 92.7 WMDX.
Well, thanks, Stephanie. 92.7 WMDX, the John and Gordy in the Morning Show, and, you know, for a while anyway, we'll see what happens when President Trump takes over and tells everybody on the radio that they better like him, or they're gone.
Or else.
History, or they're in the FEMA camps.
Okay. Weather for today, it's going to be cloudy and kind of gloomy all day long, so get used to it.
Is that why you ducked your head out of the studio really quick
there? I did.
Get used to it.
To look at the clouds?
It's 47 degrees currently, high of just 51 today. And we welcome Mike McCabe into the studio. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us.
We're going to find out what it's like to live in Mordor.
How are you doing this morning?
Well, I'm a little short on sleep. I tossed and turned a lot last night.
Yeah.
And a sleepless night left me with more questions than answers. But you know, I'm sure I'm not alone feeling that way.
Did you go to bed knowing that there was the inevitability of Trump being elected the next president?
Well, you know, your show starts so early in the morning. I was hoping to get to bed early enough that that I wouldn't know until the morning.
Yeah,
but I kind of knew.
Yeah,
yeah. So what are your thoughts? Are you...
You kind of wrote about it in your latest Substack post, and the title of it is, There Will Be an Answer. And you were going to kind of hold off on that, but you did it anyway.
I was not intending to write anything until after the election, so I was probably going to post something today or tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But I decided yesterday morning, you know what? I'm going to say what's on my mind, and...
Do you think what you said on your mind would have been the same today as it was tomorrow?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
or
yeah.
Yesterday, rather?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, because half the country is celebrating and half the country is despairing, and that's the point. We're split in half. Mm-hmm. These are hardly a United States of America right now. And if the votes had broken just a little bit differently and the other side was celebrating and you know, the sides were switched and the folks who are celebrating were despairing, we'd still be in that situation of having a country divided in half. Our country's got its work cut out for it, and we as a people have our work cut out for us. And I guess my thought in writing yesterday was, you know what, regardless of the outcome, my government is not going to force me to hate. It's not going to force me to be suspicious or resentful of immigrants. It's not going to make me a different husband. Mm. I'm not going to see my wife as somebody who should be subservient to me. We're equal partners. That mm-hmm. that continues. And I think with the outcome that we got, it's more important than ever that we reach out to those we care about and stay connected. And it's more important than ever that we try to figure out what's gone so haywire in our country. Mm. And yeah, the government would be a whole lot different if the outcome had been a few thousand votes different here and there. but our society would still be in this mess where neighbors are at neighbors' throats and people are seeing each other as not only enemies but actually as evil. And we're not, and we're, as a country, we're in denial about so many things. And one of the outcomes of this election was that lies won. Yeah. You know, the people right. showed that they are okay being lied to, because maybe they want to be lied to. Maybe they don't want to face the realities that we face as a nation. Maybe they don't want to deal with the depth of the problems that face this country. And so maybe they want to be deceived. Maybe that's one of the takeaways from this election outcome is, you know, you had a candidate who was expressing a very dark vision of America and was lying up a storm, is a compulsive liar.
Right.
And that was okay with people. And that says something about our nation's character at the moment. And as I wrote yesterday, I'm not going to stop loving my country. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to stop being the person I am. And the government can't make me be any other way. Mm-hmm. And I think we're gonna punt a lot of problems down the road. We're going to kick the can on a lot of things that we shouldn't be just ignoring for another 4 years or whatever. But that is when we have to do our greatest soul searching. That's when we have to use imagination about what a better country will look like and how it might come about before that will ever come to pass.
My imagination.
That's why I wrote a novel, by the way.
My imagination could not imagine that a majority of the public would go for a dictator, an authoritarian, a strongman leader. I didn't realize that that would happen, except the fact that we've been conditioned to believe that if we had a strongman leader, that we could believe everything he said. Mm-hmm. And the other side, even though we know that Trump lies all the time, they like the lies. They like the soothing nature mm-hmm. of being told that everything mm-hmm. is fine. And even though everything isn't fine, they want to know that it's fine from him. Mm-hmm. And they have been told not to believe the media. So they don't want to pay attention to the media. They haven't even looked at the media. They don't care about the media anymore. They just want to hear it from their strongman dictator. Is everything okay? And he always says it is okay, no matter what
when
the problem.
When he's in power, everything's in power. Great.
Exactly.
You know, I've heard many of his ramblings in recent days and weeks. But in one of his more lucid moments, he said, you know, I won the 2016 election on immigration, yeah. and I'll win this one on immigration. Mm. And here's a whole bunch of people out there who who want to believe that there's somebody to blame. They want to believe that somebody has swooped in and stolen their jobs, or sort of nudged them aside in the pecking order in our society. They want to believe that, even though it's not true. And you know, I grew up on a dairy farm, and I come from rural Wisconsin. And I tell you, if there is a mass deportation coming in our country, it will devastate the rural economy. It will destroy American agriculture. And farmers know that. Yeah. They know that that's a disastrous policy. And if we go back to these huge tariffs and we start new trade wars, that will also devastate the rural economy. And it will destroy American agriculture.
Well,
and farmers know that.
Remember, they were paid $28 billion, and a lot of that money went to the big farms. Because of the tariffs, farmers were losing money hand over fist. Yeah. They were losing their businesses and their farms, and Trump had to put out their $28 billion to pay them off so they didn't lose it all, and that's because of the tariffs. And now he's going to go like quadruple times the tariff.
I guess my point is that there are complicated problems facing us with no easy answers.
Right.
The answers do involve some pain.
Yeah.
But people, I think, want to believe that there's somebody, some scapegoat that can be identified blamed. And if those people are sufficiently punished, that will benefit the rest of us.
Right.
And that, of course, is a fairy tale. That is an absolute fiction. But people wanted to believe the fiction because the reality is difficult. It's challenging.
We're talking to Mike McCabe, and we can take your text here at 608-879-8255. We had a text. Somebody put in a picture of the Statue of Liberty walking into the ocean, saying the Statue of Liberty last seen walking back to France.
There's another one here that I think is pretty, it's not exactly funny, but Mr. 1701 says, I feel like this guy, and it's a black and white picture of 1930s Germany. Everyone, except for one guy, is doing the Hitler salute. He's just sitting there with a skeptical look on his face with his arms crossed. He says, I'm this guy.
Wow. Mm. I'd like to see that picture. John Stewart came out. They were broadcasting live during the election, and he said this. This isn't the end. I promise you this is not the end. We have to regroup, and we have to continue to fight and continue to work day in, day out to create a better society for our children, for this world, for this country that we know is possible. It's possible. That's his encouragement.
Amen. Yeah, it's never the end. And, you know, I had somebody write to me in recent days saying, you know, comparing this election to the Battle of Gettysburg and noting how close that battle came to going the other way, the South winning and then winning the Civil War. And then there wouldn't have been an end to slavery, and there wouldn't have been a Civil Rights Act, and there wouldn't have been a first black president. And I said, wait a second. Even if the Battle of Gettysburg had been won by the other side, and even if the Civil War had been won by the South, that doesn't mean that slavery would have been in place forever in this country. It doesn't mean we would still be living under slavery. And it doesn't mean that there wouldn't have been a demand for freedom, that a civil rights movement wouldn't have erupted at some point. It doesn't mean that we wouldn't have eventually elected a black president. It just means that the path would have been different.
Right.
But the hopes and the aspirations wouldn't have been extinguished. And so that's how we have to think about this election. Yeah. If this election was like the Battle of Gettysburg, and if this election did end up with the South effectively winning, that's not the end.
Right.
It just means that the path to the better society that we all desire will be different than it might have been if a few thousand votes here and there would have gone the other way.
Well, now if they start the deportations that they promised to do, they say it'll cost billions and billions and billions of dollars to do that. That's taxpayer money. But at the same time, these individuals, these immigrants that are in this country working, are paying into Social Security and Medicare. they do not get those benefits Correct. Themselves, but they are paying money into that. That will be a tremendous drain on those resources as well.
Correct.
Yeah. So we're in real trouble in the future.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So this is setting us up for something that we're going to very desperate to solve in a not too distant future.
Well, could it be that the mass deportation thing ends up being like, well, I'm going to build a wall and make Mexico pay for it?
It never happened.
We'll see.
Of course, that's possible.
Yeah.
But whatever comes, we can't stop treating other people the right way, and we can't allow our government to change the way we behave. We still have that power, and so John Stewart's absolutely right. This is not even close to being the end. There is no end to the American story. A new chapter starts.
We're the frogs in the warm water that is now boiling. So we'll see what happens, huh?
It is 7:48. Again, we're taking your text this morning. No phone calls, just because we're in a different studio that doesn't have the phones set up this morning. But you can still text us, 608-879-8255.
The other thing that I'm thinking about is the media and how it's going to have to approach this, because we've been kind of hands-off, playing both sides, are equal, and this is where it got us. I think somewhere along the way, we're going to have to make some kind of improvement in order to counter this, because this has gone too far now, at least as far as I can see.
And we will be back with more. This portion of the John and Gordy Show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress, available on Madison's East and West Side or online at verlo.com. Back with more of John and Gordy, along with Mike McCabe on 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
WMDX. John and Gordy in the morning with Mike McCabe from Substack in here, and we're talking about the election last night and the results of that election that we're going to be living with for the next 4 years. Sadly, Mike, I'm going to have to play audio from Trump. Okay. Is there some way we can just change the audio?
Maybe we should put his voice through a vocoder so we don't have to listen to him.
He could have a different voice every day. So what is your feeling now, on the road? I know it's not going to change us so much, but on the road down, how are we going to have to deal with this as a media? I gave you my little impression of it, but there have been groups forming to try and create some kind of message. I know Isthmus is part of a group nationwide of networks that have tried to deal with the messaging that that the media can take. Not taking a side one way or another, but a way they can describe these situations. When somebody does lie, how do you describe them lying? How do you mention it? How do you say it without sounding like there's media bias? What's your suggestion? Do you have any ideas on that?
Not many ideas, because I fear that the media will now legitimize Trump again because he won the election.
Yikes.
And I fear that they will try to explain away many of the lies and deceptions that he engages in.
Yeah.
And of course, that is the exact wrong impulse. And I implore people in the media not to fall into that trap. Right. But I fear that that's where they will likely gravitate. So that means that the citizenry still has to be both willing and able to fight back against misinformation and disinformation and abuse of power. And
it's been tough so far, Mike.
Oh, of course. And it will only get tougher now that he will...
It legitimizes the lies.
Now that he will go back to inhabiting the White House, that will give him an air of legitimacy again that he lost after the 2020 election.
We got a text from Andrew in Verona. Says, well, the mainstream media has utterly failed. No way to compete with Foxy News. And can you read that other one, Sam? I can't quite see it from here. That one on the bottom.
The latest one?
Professional
communicators will not say the obvious. We are a country filled with idiots who are easily manipulated. You think it's bad now. Wait until AI is used every day to make people believe ridiculous things. That's already happening.
That happened during the campaign with Trump. I mean, they put out AI-generated stuff, and no one ever called him on it.
And you know, Fox News is not going to go away. And all of the other instruments of propaganda that have been propping him up and advancing his candidacy, none of that will go away now that he will again be president. So, again, that's where, as individual citizens, we have to fight back against that dynamic.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be there with us. We wouldn't be in this mess if not for failure on many fronts. And I'm not one who wants to place all the blame at the foot of mainstream media. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of blame to go around why our country finds itself in this position. But we're here, and I fear that the media will probably give him an air of legitimacy again.
Yeah. I hope you're wrong, Mike.
I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong. But I think that has to be something of an operating assumption, which then should stir us to even greater diligence and action.
Well, your job, our job, and I wouldn't want your job. I'm glad I don't have your job, John Peterson and Gordy Young and Sam. I'm really glad, and I'm grateful that you're here to be the positive. Gordy, from the first moment you opened your mic, was trying to be like, well, let's see. And John was my voice in my head. Don't try and make me feel better. It's awful.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna endeavor just today to turn my attitude around. I will tell you, I saw one woman when I was out at the polls. I saw a lot of women coming in to vote. And one woman, older woman, came up to me. And I said, are you here to vote? And she said, no. And she was Ukrainian. Mm. She said, I can't vote, but I wanted to come and see.
Yeah.
We can't forget Ukraine.
Absolutely.
That's next.
I want to also put something in for civic media, because we have been trying to get the message out there in a way that is somewhat neutral, but we want to get the facts out there and bring it to the public. And we're statewide, and we've done an exceptional job. And I can't thank everybody here enough about how much everybody has cooperated and moved around the state and covered the events that are going on in the state. And it's just, if we just keep doing what we're doing, and hopefully other networks will take place throughout the other states in the country and help get the message out, where the media is actually honest at this point and is point blank about it, and is reporting the facts and the news and interpreting it in a way that is accurate. That is what we're trying to achieve here.
And I hope that we keep our eye on the fact that cruelty won in this election.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's reasons to be angry, but we cannot allow our anger to turn into cruelty. We cannot do what just was effectively done to the American people,
absolutely,
which was turn them toward cruelty. We can't allow that to happen. We have to turn that anger into something much more positive and constructive.
Mike, thank you. That's Mike McCabe. We'll see you next Wednesday. Tomorrow, Busted Thanks. Pencils with us. Stephanie Miller's coming up next. John?
Yeah, I'm depressed still.
We'll be here tomorrow morning, though.
All right.
We hope you will be too.
We'll be back.
The national news cycle never stops. but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.